Text number 16. The chapter is titled Lord Krishna Explains the Yoga System. Nirapeksham Munim Shantam.
Nirapeksham Munim Shantam.
Nirapeksham Munim Shantam.
Nirapeksham Munim Shantam.
Nirvairam Samadarshanam.
Nirvairam Samadarshanam.
Nirvairam Samadarshanam.
Nirvairam Samadarshanam.
Anuvrajamyaham Nityam.
Anuvrajamyaham Nityam.
Anuvrajamyaham Nityam.
Anuvrajamyaham Nityam.
Puyeyeti Ankhirenubhi. Puyeyeti Ankhirenubhi.
Puyeyeti Ankhirenubhi.
Nirapeksham Munim Shantam.
Nirapeksham Munim Shantam.
Nirvairam Samadarshanam.
Nirvairam Samadarshanam.
Anuvajyamyaham Nityam.
Anuvajyamyaham Nityam.
Puyeyeti Ankhirenubhi.
Puyeyeti
Nirapeksham.
Nirapeksham.
Without personal desire.
Without personal desire.
Munim.
Munim.
Always thinking of assisting me in my pastimes.
Shantam.
Peaceful.
Peaceful.
Nirvairam.
Nirvairam.
Not inimical to anyone.
Not inimical to
anyone. Samadarshanam.
Samadarshanam.
Equal consciousness everywhere.
Equal consciousness.
Anuvrajami. Follow. Aham.
I.
Nityam.
Nityam.
Always.
Always.
Puyeya.
Puyeya.
I may be purified.
I may be purified.
I will purify the universe within me. Iti, thus. Ankhri,
of the lotus feet.
Renubhi,
by the dust.
Says the translation, with the dust of my devotee's lotus feet, I desire to purify the material worlds which are situated within me. Thus, I always follow the footsteps of my pure devotees. Who are free from all personal desire, wrapped in thoughts of my pastimes, peaceful, without any feeling of enmity, and of equal disposition everywhere. So I'll read with response, so you can listen carefully. With the dust of my devotee's lotus feet,
with the dust of my devotee's lotus feet,
I desire to purify the material worlds.
I desire to purify the material worlds.
Which are situated within me.
Thus,
I always follow the footsteps of my pure devotees, who are free from all personal desire, wrapped in thoughts of my pastimes, peaceful, without any feeling of enmity, and of equal disposition everywhere. So it's a purport by servants of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada. Just as the devotees always follow the footsteps of Lord Krishna, similarly Lord Krishna, being a devotee of His devotees, follow the footsteps of His devotees. A pure servitor of the Lord is always meditating on the pastimes of the Lord and considering how to assist the Lord in His mission. All the material universes are situated in Sri Krishna's body. All the material universes are situated in Sri Krishna's body, as demonstrated to Arjun, Mother Yashoda and others. Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore there is no question of impurity in the Lord. Still, the Lord desires to purify the universes situated within Him by taking the dust of the lotus feet of His pure devotees. Without the dust of the lotus feet of the devotees, it is not possible to engage in pure devotional service, without which one cannot directly experience transcendental bliss. Lord Krishna thought, I have established this strict rule that one can enjoy my transcendental bliss only through devotional service obtained from the dust of the lotus feet of my devotees. Since I also desire to experience my own bliss, I will observe the standard procedure and accept the dust of my devotee's feet. Srila Madhvacharya points out that Lord Krishna follows the footsteps of His devotees in order to purify them. As the Lord walks along behind a pure devotee, the wind blows the dust of the Lord's feet in the front of his devotees, who then become purified by contact with transcendental dust. One should not foolishly look the material logic in these transcendental pastimes of the Lord. It is simply a question of love between the Lord and his devotees. Om Jnanati Vrandasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurin Vilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. It's a very wonderful verse. It actually shows the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as well as his devotees. So it is a two-folded verse because it shows how great the Supreme Lord is and at the same time how pure and how great his devotees are. First of all, very interesting point is here it is mentioned that the whole universe, the whole material universes, as we know, the material universes, if we try to count, it is quite difficult. Often it is compared to a bag full of mustard seeds, where each mustard seed is compared to a universe. So there are unlimited, so many number of universes, and we are such a tiny element in such a big and vast universe. And all these universes are situated within Krishna. So that is the most amazing pastime. It's the most wonderful thing that we can observe. That is, from the scriptures we can directly see how the whole universes are situated within Krishna. One time, Krishna was sleeping or about to sleep on the lap of Mother Yashoda. I think that was the first time Krishna showed his universal form. The whole universes within his mouth. That was Krishna just yawned. He just opened his mouth and Mother Yashoda could see the whole universes within his mouth. And the next pastime you must be knowing, that is when Krishna ate mud. And Baladev and all other cowherd boys, they complained to Mother Yashoda that Krishna has eaten mud. And Krishna denied straightforward. He said, no, I haven't. And Mother Yashoda asked, okay, you should open your mouth. Krishna said, you know, why don't you believe me? I haven't eaten anything. But he was forced to and he opened his mouth. So that was the second time Krishna showed all the universes within his mouth. Then as it is mentioned here, everyone knows, during the battle of Kurukshetra, that is in the beginning, when the Bhagavad Gita was spoken, Krishna showed his universal form. So in many occasions, actually Krishna showed that whole universe is within Krishna. And as we know, within the universe Krishna is also present. That is, within the atom and in between the atoms, Krishna is present as Antaryami. So Krishna is present outside as Virat Roop and within as Antaryami. So Krishna is present everywhere. However, Krishna desires to purify the whole material universe which are within him by the dust of the lotus feet of his devotees. So if you see this material universe, it is full of miseries. And the time is a grinding force. It actually demolishes everything. It changes everything. It destroys everything. The beauty of this world, it looks apparently very nice. However, by the time factor, Krishna destroys the beauty of this world. Even the very existence of this universe is demolished, is vanquished completely just by the time factor. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Kalosmi Loka Kshayakrit. So, Loka Kshayakrit means the whole universe is, you know, it's just grinding, it is just crushing by the influence of time. One time, there was a very, very, very nice pastime, very interesting story. Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj told. He was mentioning the effect of time, the effect of beauty of this world, or the material beauty, by a very small, a short and a very beautiful example. He was telling, he was in the airport and one beautiful girl was walking. You know, young, all attractive, you know, looking, everyone is, you know, everyone's eyes are captured towards that girl. And, you know, a few seconds behind, that is few meters behind, he could see her mother walking behind. So, you know, mother and daughter look alike. But one is young and one is quite old. So Maharaj was mentioning this is the effect of time. You can see, you know, a few seconds and you can see this is beauty and this is towards ugliness. So this is the beauty of this material world. So there is nothing actually stays constant in this world. Everything is changing. Everything and everyone, everything is changing. As it is said, the Shadvikar. Shadvikar means the 6 transformations of this body. Starting from birth, growing up, staying as, you know, the same, you know, staying in the same state for some time, producing byproducts, then dwindling and dying. So change is inevitable factor of this material universe, if we consider our body or whatever we are seeing around us. I was really amazed to see one documentary. It was on old age, life of the old age people. It was one of the farm retreats. Devamrutha Swami Maharaj was showing this video. And in this video, doctors were explaining, we don't have actually any solution. So the whole video was about how the old age people, old people are being taken care in US. And it was a very interesting documentary for about 1 hour. And the miseries of old age was very nicely depicted in that documentary. So the doctors who were taking care of these old people and who were giving counseling and who were looking after these old people for many, many years, the doctor actually frankly mentions, I don't know how to deal with old age in my case. And I am giving counseling and I am giving treatment to so many people. However, I don't know how to deal with this. Frankly, don't know. And he admits that even the modern life support system, it tries to help to elongate one's duration. The lifespan is literally increased. But the question is, he mentions, it is actually the suffering that actually extends. If the lifespan is increasing, it means one is supposed to die at a particular moment, and due to the lifespan, the increasing lifespan due to the medical system, he is supposed to suffer even more. The reason is, you know, they can't do anything. It is, you know, it's like a coma and it is being extended further. So the suffering is increased rather than it is being reduced. So that doctor was telling, sometimes it's shocking for me. It is very difficult for me to explain when one doesn't want to accept the natural death. Because if one cannot swallow any food, and if it's actually one is in his coma, and one is the human nature or the new normal living being's condition naturally is to die. Because that is the state one has to die. One has to accept death. However, the support system is actually extending the lifespan for maybe 1 year, some people for a few months. However, the concomitant suffering is just going on, it's increasing. So one cannot avoid suffering. It's not possible. So it is the nature of the material world. And Krishna knows this very well. As the Supreme Lord, as the Supreme Father, he knows very well that people in this world are suffering. So Krishna mentions in Bhagavad Gita, which is the verse? In your verse? No. Where Krishna says, Prakritisthani kashyati. Everyone is actually suffering. Manas shashtani indriyani prakritisthani kashyati. Mamevamsho jivaloko jivabhuta sanatana manas shashtani indriyani prakritisthani kashyati. So even though the living entities are my part and parcels, still everyone has to suffer due to coming in contact with my matter in the form of one's mind, polluted consciousness and the senses. So suffering is the other side of the material existence. Material enjoyment on the one side of the coin and the other side suffering. One has to accept both. There is no other way. So Krishna, knowing this fact very well, and he being the all-loving Supreme Father, he wants to help all the living entities. And so he is telling, I would like to purify the material worlds. So in this verse Krishna is saying, I would like to purify the material worlds. And how? He mentioned it is through his devotees. So there is a very interesting analysis that is mentioned regarding bhakti. How one can actually achieve bhakti? How can one get bhakti? Bhakti as such is considered independent. It is causeless. It is independent of everything and everyone in one sense. So it is mentioned that the Supreme Lord is all independent. As Bhagavatam, the first verse 1.1.1 mentions, he is Swarat. He is fully independent. In the same way, bhakti, devotion to the Supreme Lord, is also fully independent. There is no reason for producing bhakti in one's heart. So one may wonder, how is it possible to have bhakti in anyone's heart? Because it is being causeless, it is being independent. So the same canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that is 11th canto, there is a very nice verse in the 20th chapter. Again, Krishna instructs Uddhava, he mentioned, Yadrchaya mat kathadav jadashartha tuya puman na nirvinno nadishakto bhakti yogosya siddhida. So Krishna mentions, if somehow or other, by good fortune, one develops faith in hearing and chanting of my glories, such a person, being neither very disgusted with nor attached to material life, should achieve perfection through the path of loving devotion to me. It is 11:28 in the same canto. So the interesting point in this verse is, the verse is starting from Yadrchaya. Yadrchaya means somehow or other, or by good fortune. This word you can see in Bhagavad Gita also. Many places you can see. Edrachaya means somehow or other. There is no specific reason. So Krishna mentions to Uddhava, Krishna tells Uddhava, this bhakti is obtained Edrachaya or without any particular reason, by chance, by good fortune. So one may confuse, one may think, how is it possible for one to obtain bhakti? Because it is Edrachaya. By good fortune one gets bhakti. So there is an interesting analysis that is being done. I will explain very briefly this analysis. That is, what is the source of bhakti? So naturally one can say, okay, Krishna is the source of all bhakti, because Krishna is the source of everything. So Krishna is the source of bhakti. Okay, we may accept that argument, which is true. But at the same time, how can you understand Krishna is the source of bhakti, and Krishna being all merciful, he is giving bhakti to everyone, but some people have got bhakti and some people do not have bhakti. So how can we understand? Okay, even if we accept the independence of living entities, if we consider the complete independent nature of the Supreme Lord, the question arises, how the Supreme Lord, being fully independent, cause to give bhakti to anyone? What can cause him to give bhakti to one person, and what can cause one, for him, for the Supreme Lord, not to give bhakti to someone? Understand the logic. He can give bhakti to some person and he can not give bhakti to someone. So he being the fully independent Supreme Lord, what can cause him to give bhakti and what can cause him not to give bhakti? So this is a confusing position, because the Lord being independent, he may not give or he may give. So there is always a confusion. How the pure devotional service can enter into anyone's heart? What is the reason behind that? And we know that bhakti is causeless. It is always said, the pure devotional service is, one term described pure devotional service is ahaituki, which means it is causeless. It is, you know, without any particular motivation, without any cause actually. So how can that bhakti come into anyone's heart? Then, so Supreme Lord is considered, okay, it is the source, he is the source of bhakti ultimately, because he has to be. But at the same time, invoking bhakti in anyone's heart, he may not be the cause straight away. It is said, in Gopi says to Krishna in one of the pastimes, your name is Nanda Nandana. Da in Sanskrit means Dadati. Dadati means, you know, you are Dadati Parikrishna, the give. Dadati. Nada. Nada means, you know, he doesn't give. And he says, Nada. He never gives. So Krishna is, he never gives bhakti. So gopis are telling Krishna, you are such a person that you will never give bhakti to anyone. So he's telling Krishna, you never give. So people are confused. How actually the pure devotional service can come in anyone's heart? So it is explained further, whether is it possible for a neophyte bhakta to give bhakti to anyone? Is it possible? It's not possible. Because a neophyte, a kanishta, he himself is confused. He doesn't have any, if he has a preaching mood, then he is no more a kanishta, he is no more a neophyte. So he cannot give bhakti to anyone. And we are speaking about pure devotional service. So is it possible for him to give pure devotional service to anyone? It is impossible. Then if we go one step ahead, whether the Madhyam Bhakta, a Madhyam Bhakta is the preacher, and he is supposed to give bhakti to everyone in one sense. But is it possible for him to give bhakti to everyone? So it is mentioned, it is not possible for him also to give bhakti to everyone. The reason being, he has to discriminate. Because he discriminates between one who has faith, one who doesn't have faith, who is innocent, who is envious. He has to do this discrimination in the course of delivering devotion to anyone. And if he doesn't, then actually he cannot remain a Madhyama also. He has to come down. And if he doesn't discriminate on the other side, he can go to the Uttam platform. So in other words, if he has to be in Madhyam, he has to discriminate. There is no other option. So Madhyam cannot be the cause of emanating or giving bhakti to everyone. That's not possible because he has to discriminate. Then what is option left? So the only option left is a Uttama Bhakta. Because Uttama Bhakta, he being a pure devotee, and he can actually deliver bhakti to anyone. He can give bhakti. It's possible for him. He doesn't have to actually discriminate. But at the same time, for the preaching purpose, he sort of discriminate. But it doesn't mean that he never comes down to a platform of bhaktima, a Madhyam Bhakta, in which he cannot see Krishna. And Uttama theory, can Krishna see Krishna in everywhere and everything? So when he preaches, even if you say he comes to the platform of a Madhyama Bhakta, it is not true that he will lose that vision. He still can perceive Krishna. Though he preaches accordingly, according to the time, place and circumstances. So that point is mentioned very nicely in this verse. With the dust of my devotee's lotus feet, I desire to purify the material world. So Krishna says, I want to purify this material world. That is only through the dust of the feet of my pure devotee. That is the only way actually the world can be purified. And Maharaj Prahlad very interestingly says, Mahiyasam Pada Rajobhishegam Nishkinjanana Na Vrinita Yavat. The only way to achieve pure devotional service is through smearing the whole body with the dust coming from the lotus feet of a pure devotee who is a Nishkinchana. Actually, the devotee who is mentioned in this verse is a Nishkinchana devotee. That discussion is continuing from yesterday. Yesterday was also the verse was about a Nishkinchana devotee who doesn't have any material possession, who doesn't have any material desire. So such a devotee, Krishna uses to purify the whole material world. We can see the example of Narada Muni. Narada Muni is a wonderful example. Always when we preach, especially to students or scientifically minded people, we always give the example of previous life experience. Is it right? We often give the example of previous life experience. And we quote Ian Stevenson. Okay, Ian Stevenson has done how many? 2000 cases, showing the previous life memories, etc. However, there is a supreme and a very exalted previous life memory that is in Bhagavatam. That is of Narada Muni. Narada Muni says, okay, there was my birth. I had a birth which was many millions of years back. That was as Upabharana, as a Gandharva, where he had such a wonderful body and he used to enjoy with so many beautiful women. And he had a beautiful voice. And he used to sing so beautifully and he used to attract so many opposite sex. However, he was invited for one of the Sankirtan yagyas. Like here we are having a big Sankirtan yagya, 24-hour Kirtan. In the same way, Prajapati is conducted in the upper planetary system, a big Sankirtan yagya, and Upabharana, being a person with such a wonderful voice, he was invited and he went and he started singing the glories of demigods. So Prabhupada mentioned in the purport, it is like singing cinema songs. So if we come to temple and if we start singing cinema songs, it is an offense. And not only that, he was surrounded by lusty women. So he was enjoying the company of lusty women and singing all the cinema kind of songs. So Prajapatis, they actually became very unhappy and they got offended and they cursed Narada. Okay, now you are so beautiful. Let in your next birth be no beauty. You be a son of a Shudra. And the situation was such that he didn't even know who was his father. That was Narada Muni's position. So Upabharana, he got the mercy. In one sense, he got the mercy of this great devotees who were the residents of the high upper planetary system. And in his birth, as Narada Muni, as a boy, as a Shudra birth, he also got the association of Bhakti Vedantas, the pure devotees. And in the rainy season, about few months, they got a chance to stay that is Narada Muni and his mother got a chance to stay with the Bhaktivedantas, and they got the opportunity to serve them. In fact, Narada Muni didn't know that he was serving such exalted devotees. He didn't know exactly that, okay, I am serving pure devotees and I am going to obtain transcendental knowledge. He didn't know I am going to get the process of devotional service by serving such exalted devotees. He didn't know that. But by chance he got this opportunity and started serving these great exalted devotees. And he even took the remnants from such great devotees. And in effect, they taught him how to worship the Supreme Lord, how to chant His holy names. And in the same life, he could elevate himself to a platform where he could get the vision of the Supreme Lord, even for a glimpse. One time he could see the Supreme Lord. And after that the Lord said, no, you can't see me anymore. This is just to increase the appetite. It is just little bit is given. Little bit, okay, I have given my darshan for a moment. That is enough for you to increase the longing for me. So that's it for now. And in that body, Narada Muni left his body and then he became the son of Brahmaji. So, in that birth, that is after Narada became Narada, the son of Lord Brahma, he tells his past life memories. Okay, he said his Shudra birth, and before that, how he was in Gandhara planet as Upabharana. So here also we can see the influence of devotees, the influence of such pure devotees. And Narada himself being pure devotee, the Devarshi, he was traveling around the globe delivering the message of Bhagavad Dharma. In first canto we can see he instructed Vyasadev. He instructed Dhruva Maharaj. He instructed Prahlad Maharaj. He instructed Prachetas. He instructed Prachina Bahrishit. We can see he actually delivered. He gave wonderful opportunity for Nalakuvera and Manigriva in the form of curse, so that they could finally meet the Supreme Personality of Lord Godhead and purify themselves. And here in 11th canto we can see how Narada Muni is conversing to Vasudev. So many of the instructions we were reading before, it was conversation between Narada Muni and Vasudev. So throughout Bhagavatam, we can see the position of Narada Muni being a pure devotee, how he is delivering the pure message to so many people. Similarly, we can see in the current day, modern day preacher, that is Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada has delivered so many people, and we are also getting such a wonderful opportunity to be in association with the devotees. Here we can see, now we are getting an opportunity to be in association with the devotees, to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, to chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra, but the whole thing is actually coming from the heart of a pure devotee. It's not actually coming from any Madhyama Bhakta, because many preachers, if you see in this movement, are Madhyama Bhaktas, because they are doing the preaching. We maybe came in touch with the devotional service, we may have taken the process of devotional service by the Madhyama Bhaktas, that is, by the second class devotees. However, the origin, the source of the devotional service, what we are actually getting now, that is from a pure devotee, from an Uttamadhikari, that is Srila Prabhupada. So we have to see, even in our context, we can very clearly see what is the source of bhakti, that is Srila Prabhupada. He is a pure devotee. There is a very interesting verse in the 9th canto, that is Supreme Lord Narayan tells Durvasa about his affection for his devotees. I'll read that verse. He says, Sri Bhagavan Vacha, Aham Bhakta Paradhino, Hi Asvatantra Ivadvicha, Sadhavur Grastha Hridayo, Bhakte Bhakta Janapriya. The Supreme Lord is saying, the Supreme Personality of God has said to the Brahmana, I am completely under the control of my devotees. Indeed, I am not at all independent. Because my devotees are completely devoid of material desires, I sit only within the core of their hearts. What to speak of my devotee, even those who are devotees of my devotees are very dear to me. You see, so the Lord is saying, not only the devotees, but devotees of my devotees are dear to me. This point we have to remember all the time. The reason being, we may not have a direct connection with Krishna, but if we can become dear to the devotees, the sincere devotees of Krishna, then our life is assured. We can go back home, back to Godhead. It can be the form of spiritual master, can be other great devotees within the movement, but any devotee, any sincere great devotee, if we can be dear to them, then our life has some meaning. Our life is actually assured. The success is guaranteed. So this point we have to always remember. That is, just becoming dear to devotees, we have hope. And Bhagavatam, first canto again says, Tirthi Kurvandi Tirthani Swanta Sena Gadaprata. That is, a pure devotee, he can actually create tirthas. He can create holy dham. Because just by his presence. And the reason why a pure devotee, wherever he visits, that becomes a holy dham. The reason is Santosena Gadaprada. The carrier of the club, the supreme lord, is situated within the heart of such a devotee. So wherever he goes, that place becomes holy dham. His grace Bhurichan Prabhu, he said, I remember very clearly, that is, whenever Srila Prabhupada was present, in his presence, he was mentioning, he used to have the feeling that he was in the altar. We have a particular feeling if you are in the altar, if you are with the devotees. Specifically, if your consciousness is good, then there is a feeling. A particular feeling. If we are in the altar with the Lord. Otherwise, if consciousness is not good, no matter where you are, it's the same story. So, Bhurichan Prabhu was mentioning, however, whenever he was with Prabhupada, he had the same feeling. That is like, the Lord is present. The deities are present near me. And Bhurichan Prabhu was explaining, it is because Radha and Krishna are present within the heart of Srila Prabhupada. So, wherever he was present, it is just like the altar is there, wherever the Radha and Krishna are worshipped. So, that is the purity, that is the greatness of pure devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And such pure devotees are sent to the material world to purify. If we see Srila Prabhupada's life, he was practically doing four major tasks. Prabhupada was doing many tasks, but if we categorize, at least a major, we can understand four major tasks. One was, he was the prime preacher. Initially there was no preachers. Then he trained a few preachers. However, Srila Prabhupada was acting as a preacher. He was delivering lectures, he was giving interviews, he was writing letters. He was thinking in so many different ways, he was preaching straight. And at the same time, he was managing the whole society. There were so many temples, there were so many projects, there were so many devotees, giving guidance to devotees. So he was acting as a manager also. He was a preacher, he was a manager. Not only that, he was a great writer. He wrote how many? 60 plus books. And not only that, so he was a writer. And the fourth one is, he was a world traveler. So if you think, if these four activities, if you consider anybody's life, nobody can actually, it's impractical to do one thing. In one of the interviews, one great scholar, he was mentioning, if in one's lifetime, if one can write 60 books, that itself is a big achievement. Just one thing, that is writing 60 books, say it is 60 books. Just 60 books, if somebody can write, doing nothing else, just being a scholar or, profound in one area, just writing a book for the whole lifetime. And if one can do that, then one is done, it's like, something most wonderful. And now here we can see Prabhupada was preaching and he was making so many devotees, he was influencing the hearts of so many devotees. If we see now so many Maharajas, so many senior devotees, everyone got attracted to one single person. That was Srila Prabhupada. Such an amazing thing if you think about. Then managing. Managing means such a terrible task. I'm not a manager as such, but I know I have a feel of it. It's a terrible task. It puts one into so much of stress. It's like, consider a position of a receptionist, for instance. One call is coming, one person is, two people are coming, they are telling two different things, and that is not happening, this is not happening. And if we are under pressure, if you are asking so many things, and if we are expected to do so many things, naturally we are under stress. But it is mentioned, Bhurichan Prabhu, I remember Bhurichan Prabhu mentioning this point, Prabhupada was never under stress, never. Never under stress, never in anxiety, never in anxiety. Though he was managing so many devotees, He was managing so many temples. He was writing so many things. And we know sleep. How many hours he used to sleep? Everyone knows. 3 or 4 or whatever. Even if we sleep 6 hours or 7 hours, still we are tired, you know, in our age. After sleeping 6 hours, we say, no, it's not enough. And traveling around the globe, that is, you know, I don't have to say. If you just come from India, if people, you know, go to Holy Dham or visit family and come back here, and after that 2 days, people take rest. Shruta Kirti Prabhu was mentioning, there was no concept of jet lag. You know, we say, oh, Prabhu, I am jet lag, you know, I won't be able to do this service, or, you know, I won't be able to do that thing. We say always. But Shruta Kirti Prabhu was mentioning, there was no concept of jet lag. If Prabhupada reaches there, Shruta Kirti Prabhu also has to be ready. Prabhupada will also be ready. If he comes in the morning, he will go for morning walk. So this is the potency of such a pure devotee. So we can see why the Supreme Personality of Godhead sends such a pure devotee to purify the whole world. It is actually setting an example. It is showing that he is not an ordinary person. He is actually completely empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here is mentioned, want to purify the world from the dust of a pure devotee. We can see it straightforward in the life of Srila Prabhupada. Interesting enough, I heard once pastime from Indradumna Swami Maharaj. So when he came in, I think 2004. In one of the house programs in Bhakta Prabhu's house, I listened to this pastime. Actually, for the first time I was listening, I just saw amazing, and that actually shows the position of Srila Prabhupada. Very wonderful. So he, Maharaj mentioned, Srila Prabhupada went to one of the African countries, I can't remember the name, and there was one contagious disease that was spread in that country, and one had to take a certificate, a medical certificate, to re-enter to India. So Prabhupada returned to India and he was asked, where is the certificate, where is the medical certificate showing that you don't have any disease, you are fine. So Prabhupada asked his servant, okay, take out the certificate. The servant, you know, looked, you know, usually it happens when we are servant, we look everything and finally say, oh no, it's not there. Most of, you know, sometimes it happens and it's very embarrassing for the servant, you know, if somebody asks and we don't have that with us. Anyway, for the servant, the same thing happened. He looked everywhere, but he couldn't find the certificate. So, Prabhupada as well as his servant, they were quarantined. So they had to stay in a particular place for a couple of days. Prabhupada, Prabhupada said, okay, well, there's no other option. He had to, so he accepted. And Prabhupada was staying there, and one of his god brother or a very dear friend, he was also there with Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, I shouldn't have come here. So, I shouldn't have come here. So, the friend asked Prabhupada, I think it's God, but he asked Prabhupada, what do you mean? You know, where? I shouldn't have come. What do you mean? To this country? Or what do you mean? No, Prabhupada said, no, I shouldn't have come to the material world. And then Prabhupada said, okay, I shouldn't have come to the material world, but Krishna asked me to go. Krishna asked me to go. So that was actually the position of Srila Prabhupada. Krishna personally asked Srila Prabhupada to go. It's like, if there is a preaching mission, we may ask somebody, okay, you go and do this. Like Prabhupada asked, you know, many of his disciples, okay, now you go to Pakistan. Or now you go to London. So in the same way, Krishna asked Srila Prabhupada, now you go to material world, you deliver. So that we can see, this actually exemplifies this verse. Krishna wants to purify this material world by the dust of his pure devotee. And Krishna did it. Krishna is doing this by Srila Prabhupada. Such an amazing thing. So next is a pastime. Akhil Prabhupada was mentioning me. So in the additional pastimes of Srila Prabhupada. That is how Prabhupada sent his disciples to London. So it's a famous story. The three couples, they were sent to London to start Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada actually enthused them by saying the story of Charlie Chaplin. How, you know, the band was tore and still he was dancing and in the whole pastime, and Prabhupada enthused them how to be enthusiastic and preach in London. However, after everything, the disciples asked Srila Prabhupada, can we kiss your lotus feet. And Prabhu was allowed to kiss the feet. You know, it is actually, if you consider the Vedic tradition, it is it's not that, you know, one can take the dust of the lotus feet or, you know, can place the feet on the head. That is usually done. But Prabhu was asked to, you know, everyone was asked, okay, let us now kiss your lotus feet. And all these devotees, including Matajis, they kissed the feet, a lot of feet of Srila Prabhupada. And as we can know, it is a history when the devotees, when this Grihastha devotees, when they went to London, they could actually start Krishna consciousness movement in London. They came in touch with George Harrison, and you know, rest is a history. It started. And it is interesting, even the great sannyasi preachers of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his disciples, they couldn't establish Krishna consciousness in London. It didn't work out. They went, but they couldn't. With money, with all the facilities, they couldn't. But these three couples, you know, with their husband and wife, six people, they went, and they could make the impossible possible. You can see, you know, they actually took the dust from the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. We can really see that. So that is the mercy. That is the mercy that is emanating from the lotus feet of such pure devotees. And in this Kali Yuga, we also have to understand one more thing, very, very, very important. That is, we have to understand the position and mercy of Lord Chaitanya, because Srila Prabhupada is actually carrying forward the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Because one may not be very aware of the greatness of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but it is mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the Adilila, that is, Sri Chaitanya Prasadena Tadrupasya Vinirnayam Balopi Kurite Shastram Drishtva Vraja Vilasina. That is, even a foolish child can understand all the pastimes and real nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the enjoyer of pastimes in Vraja simply by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as revealed in the scriptures. So one can, even a foolish child, can know all about Krishna simply by obtaining the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we can understand that mercy is coming through the disciplic succession, coming through Srila Prabhupada, his disciples, his grand disciples. That's how that mercy is coming through. So simply by following the instructions of our spiritual master, of senior devotees, one can actually receive the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And actually then one can start to understand Krishna. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami mentions, if one doesn't worship Lord Chaitanya and one approaches Radha and Krishna, he is a demon. One must approach Lord Chaitanya before worshipping Radha and Krishna. Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur mentions in Chaitanya Chandrodaya, that is exactly converse, is exactly opposite to Chaitanya Charitamrita. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's mentioned, even a foolish child can understand all glories of Krishna simply by getting the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. It is mentioned, even a Vedic scholar who has all the knowledge of all the Shastras, who is an expert in Sanskrit, still he cannot understand about Krishna if he doesn't receive the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So at this point, we have to understand the mercy of Lord Chaitanya also. It is so important for us to make any progress in spiritual life. So it is inevitable. It is not, we cannot say it is, you know, if it is there, it is good. It is a support system. No, it's not a support system. It is inevitable. One needs that. There is no other way. So I will stop here and see if there are any comments, questions or corrections. And then everyone can go for more questions. So that is the mood of Mahaprabhu. So it's like, actually it's like a pastime of Mahaprabhu happening. The constant kirtans, 24 hours, such a wonderful opportunity for all of us to associate with the holy name throughout. And even somebody who, you know, who is, doesn't have any understanding of philosophy whatsoever can receive the mercy of Lord Chaitanya just by hearing the holy name. So amazing. So, see any comments, questions or corrections. Yes, Mataji. Yeah. I don't have much idea about that book, even though I know some. Chaitanya Chandrodaya by Prabhodananda Saraswati Thakur, yeah, Chaitanya Chandradaya, it also glorifies Mahaprabhu. Okay. Will not get bhakti. That point was, even though if the Lord is the cause of bhakti and if he is giving bhakti to everyone, then why some people have bhakti and some people do not have bhakti? That's all. But everyone can actually eventually come to bhakti, as we know. When devotees preach, the Agyata Sukriti builds, and at one point, one will have enough faith to come to the platform of sadhana. So when we say one is in a bhakti, we actually means one starts practicing sadhana bhakti. That is the beginning. So till then we can consider it is a gradual development of faith. And after starting sadhana bhakti also, faith is again increasing. And up to, the faith is always increasing as we progress in spiritual life. Yeah. Yes, Prabhu. Yeah. Okay, that's a good question. The two things are always there. You know, the contradiction is always there. Nothing can move without the will of Krishna. And at the same time, Krishna is the sanctioner of everything on one side. And at the same time, we have free will. It's a contradictory thing, isn't it? But the point is the free will and the sanctioned by the, or in other words, the destiny and fate, the destiny and our free will, it actually exists simultaneously. Sanctioned by the Supreme Lord and the free will can exist simultaneously, can exist together. I hope it's not clear. It's like, if one can, even if a devotee can actually give Krishna consciousness, one can give a lecture, one can give instruction, but it's up to the individual to accept or not. That part is that point clear? You can give something to someone, but it is up to him whether to accept or not, because that is free will. Agree with that point? The free will is there. In all the circumstances, free will is there. Even in the spiritual world, there is free will. That's the reason we are here. we wrongly exercised our free will, so we are here. So the free will is always there. And for everything to happen, there is sanction of the Supreme Lord also.
I'm taking an example for this.
Okay.
Okay. He is the repository of wisdom, so he chose the right moment for the marriage of his daughter. So once he chose, it must be the right moment, cannot be wrong. But then it happened that when they pour the water to give the kanyana, to make the kanyana, something stuck in the mouth of it, so the water did not come. So there is a will, another will of the Lord is there. Your
free
will not be there.
That's
right.
Yeah, that's
true. In Madhuri Academy, Prabhu's point, that Lord, nothing moves without the sanction of the Lord. But I think Krishna Chakravarti Thakur writes there that Krishna can still subordinate to the will of his pure devotee.
Yeah.
So, though Lord doesn't desire to give mercy to someone, the pure devotee decides that Lord Krishna subordinates to the desire of the
very interesting point, yeah. And actually he desires also to purify, that is mentioned in this verse, because I desire to purify the material world. So Krishna has that desire. But that's a very interesting point, because in the purport, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur actually mentions, I have established the strict rule that one can enjoy my transcendental bliss only through devotional service obtained from the dust of lotus feet of my devotees. Okay. Since I also desire to experience my own bliss, I will observe the standard procedure and accept the dust of my devotee's feet. So it's actually, you know, explains further what you explained. So it's an interesting point. Because I take such a position. Yes, bro. One meaning of dust of lotus feet is you can get the dust of lotus feet of a pure devotee by following his instructions. One can get the mercy by. At the same time, we have to understand, we shouldn't minimize, literally speaking, the dust or the feet of a pure devotee or the Supreme Lord shouldn't be neglected. Okay, we will follow the instruction. Okay, that is right. At the same time, it is mentioned, even when we are looking at an elevated devotee, one is supposed to look at the lotus feet first. Such a senior person or a deity, if you take darshan, we are not supposed to look at the face straight away. Look at the feet. It means, even literally, that feet has significance. It's not that when we do, you know, we wash the feet of such a pure devotees. Prabhu's lotus feet is washed, literally washed with water, washed with milk. So, literally, that feet itself has significance. We don't. At the same time, we follow the instruction to get the mercy. At the same time, we respect the feet in itself also. And regarding the Supreme Lord, it is mentioned, Lakshmi Devi is mentioning, okay, the position of Tulsi Devi is superior, because Tulsi Devi can sit always at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So, lotus feet has its significance as well. Yeah.
So, there is no difficulty in being good is a good person and being supreme. Tulsi Devi was not married to a good man.
Okay.
No, she was married to an asura, and still she has suffered her reason.
Okay, interesting. Actually, there is one more reason actually. another reason is, where if somebody, many materialistic people, they pray to Lakshmi Devi for money. So it is said, Lakshmi Devi has this difficult task. All the time she has to go and she has to fulfill. She has to be with all these kind of crooked people and these fools and, you know, all these people all the time. But Tulsi Devi, she doesn't have such a problem. She is always happily at the lotus feet of Lord. That's it. That is another. Yeah, they expect bhakti. Devotees expect bhakti from Tulsi Devi. No, nothing material.
But once you say it, only because they have the bhakti, they pray.
Ki jai Srila Prabhupada ki.